Well, I'm thankful that I was included in the ones that the Lord died for. I'm glad He didn't have a list off to the side with a few names of people that weren't going to be included with having His blood cover them. He was willing to cover me as well as everyone else, and I'm so thankful for that today. I'd like to write the title of the message on the board. I've written on the board, resolute. We're nearing, as has been mentioned, we're nearing that time of the year when, if our clocks work right and we have the right calendars, it's going to flip from 2023 to 2024. And often there is quite a bit of significance that is given to this time of the year. In fact, there's a holiday. Most people have New Year's Day off. There's not very many days that generate that kind of interest as far as getting days off of work. And with this time of the year, many people make what they call New Year's resolutions. You ever made a New Year's resolution? After Thanksgiving and Christmas roll around, about the time the New Year comes, one of the New Year's resolutions is often to maybe lose a little bit of weight, maybe cut back a little bit, get back down to a little better form, maybe eat more foods that are better for you. Sometimes resolutions involve adjusting our spending and our saving habits. Recognize that maybe there's room for improvement. New Year's resolutions often involve giving something up or taking something on that perhaps wasn't part of your life, or you didn't do as well as what you would like to have done over the course of the past year. Well, I don't have anything against New Year's resolutions. I think it's a good time. It's always a good time to reassess where we are. It's always a good time to look and evaluate and check to see, am I going in the direction that I intended to go? And if it was the way I intended to go, is it turning out like I thought it was going to? And if not, always a good time to make some course adjustments. But I have a question this morning. Do you think that there's a difference between what people call New Year's resolutions and being resolute? Truly resolute. Do you think there's a difference between what people call New Year's resolutions and being resolute? Well, I looked up the definition of the word resolute, and this is what it says. Resolute means purposeful, determined, and importantly, unwavering. Unwavering. When you think about that, sometimes I wonder if New Year's resolutions would be better termed New Year's wishes. Because oftentimes that faithful part, that unwavering part, gets missed. You get several weeks into the year and you're right back where you were when you started. Well, we've had a couple of messages here on the parable of the sower. And I know we still have some thorny ground and some good ground yet to cover, Lord willing. But this morning, I feel inspired with a message that is somewhat related to ground, good ground. And it is that we be resolved, that we be resolute in our approach to following God, that we be resolute, that we be resolved in, Lord, I really do want to better understand how you would have me live, and then follow it, as was mentioned in Sunday school this morning. It's part of what good ground consists of. People that can hear the word of the Lord and then live in such a way with purpose and with faithfulness and with an unwavering spirit so that good fruit can come out of the ground and that it doesn't get choked out and consumed or die away with the heat and the trials and the tribulations that we face in life, that we're not easily moved. Folks, I want to say something here. There isn't anything more important than being resolved to being a follower of God as a dear child. Have you ever seen a child that doesn't want to be separated from their mother? I've seen children that are willing to be separated from their fathers. You always want your little child to run to you like they do their mother. And sometimes they do, and it makes the dad feel good. But there's something about a relationship between a mother and her child. And those children that have loving mothers, those children, boy, they don't let their mom and dad or their mother get very far out of sight, do they? There is nothing more important than for us to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ such that we don't want Him to get out of our eyesight. We don't want Him to get out of our presence. We don't want to live in a way in life where we look around and it's like, where's the Lord? Where's His Spirit? Where's His blessings? I don't like that. And immediately, Lord, where are you? Drop everything else we're doing to find Jesus that we might find our security. Follow Him. Every single person in the world, everyone here this morning, but it's bigger, larger than just Elle that's here today, every person that ever lived are going to come to a place in life at the end when we face God. And there will not be one more thing that was more important than being resolved, having been resolved, having been resolute in making Jesus Christ the most important thing in our lives, not a person. No one's going to get to the end of the way and say, well, you know what, I think I could have spent a little bit more time on this thing over here. I think maybe I put a little too much focus on making Jesus the center part of my life. Not a person. There's not going to be a person that says I regret having been resolved to follow the Lord. Not one person is going to say, oh, it probably wasn't that important to be so resolute, unwavering. It wasn't so necessary to be so faithful. No one. The Lord wants us today to get a vision, to get a spiritual vision of the value today. Not put it off as our Sunday school lesson bore out. It's time. Now's time. Not tomorrow. Today. May we all get a spiritual vision. This is not just about, well, it's a new year. We'll just make some new year. Yeah, I probably should be a better person. What has the Lord touched in your life? Have you sought Him? Have you asked Him? Do you have a vision of what it is that He wants from you so that we can be received in peace at the end of the way? I want to be there because I'm human just like everyone else is, and there's so much that draws us. And we can be so faithful and unwavering in so many other things in life. We're pretty unwavering and faithful about pulling up to the dinner table, most of us. We don't let too much get in between us and eating temporal food, do we? And there's a lot of other things that we don't let ourselves get too far away from it. And when we find ourselves away from it, we start to get frantic. Where is it? Where did I put it? Where is this? Can't live without that. What makes us think we can live without the Lord every single day? I'd like to read a verse out of the 7th chapter of John. John 7 and 37, it said, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.'" Jesus did not communicate this invitation with hesitation or reservation, but it said that he cried out. Jesus wasn't sitting somewhere in a corner and said in a whisper or with reservation or with hesitation, "Well, if any man will come after me, I have something for him. I have some water of life to give him if he'll come." No, Jesus Christ, it said that he stood up and he cried out. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come to me." He was definitive about it. "Let him come to me and drink, partake of what I have. Because he that believeth on me, as was written," as the scripture says, "out of his belly," that the most innermost part of a person shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus did this, and he said this, and he proclaimed this. So emphatic, so powerful, so intentional, and from the heart were Christ's actions related to this, because that was his purpose. His purpose of coming to the world was to reach out to those that were thirsty and to come and make the sacrifice that we weren't able to make. And it cost him something. It cost him his life. He had to give up a lot for this. But he didn't do it half-heartedly. He came and act he did for us all. Not only did he stand up and did he cry it out, not only was he definitive about what he said, but he meant it. And with purpose, he followed through with this. This morning, what does your life cry out? What does your life cry out? Cries out something. What is it in our lives that cause us to stand up? What gets our attention? What captures our heart? What are we drawn to? What pulls us? What are we willing to be moved by? What does move us? What elicits something from way down deep that causes us to cry out with purpose and determination and an unwavering spirit? You see, at this time next year, something is going to have cried out from our lives. Something is going to have been omitted. E-M-I-T, omit from our lives. What is it going to be? May God help us be purposeful and intentional and honest, resolute, unwavering, our influence, the story of our life, the influence of our life, it's going to be guided by either neglect, a false sense of spiritual security, lukewarmness, an absence of being resolute in following the Lord, or our lives, our story, our future, if the Lord spares time, can be guided by purpose, can be guided by the still voice of God, His Spirit. It can be guided by a desire of wanting to be a brighter light that shines out to reach other people and reflect Christ, that we might help others that are in need. What will it be? Oh, we can spend this next year, if we want, finding fault with other people. We carve out time to do that, don't we, sometimes? It's real easy to just find fault with other people. Not just the people that cut you off on the interstate. We can find fault with brothers and sisters. People that are trying to make it to heaven, doing their best to fight the fight, including themselves, trying to make heaven their home, and we can spend way too much time finding fault. Well, if brother so-and-so would do a little bit better over here, it'd be a lot better place. If sister so-and-so would just, you know, why do they do that? Why do they do this? And I know, we know people by their fruit. Jesus said, by their fruits we'll know them. But may God help us that we don't live our lives where we're always looking out to find fault in other people. Or that we live our lives where we're satisfied to just coast, if you will, spiritually. Oh, I've been raised this way, lived this way all my life. I mean, I know what the Scriptures say, and I've kind of heard it all, and I think I'm good. I'm pretty good. I know what I'm doing. And just become lukewarm and have an absence of fervency of spirit. How is your fervency of spirit today? God wants us to live our lives for Him. And I know we don't live on the mountaintop with feelings. That's not what I'm talking about. But do you have, are you settled in your soul? Are you settled in your spirit? Are we living our lives where no matter how we feel, because our feelings go up and down, Lord, I want to be found pleasing in your sight. Lord, help me to hear your voice. Lord, help me to take my eyes off all the problems that I may see in other people. And Lord, help me to look inward. Lord, help me not to categorize all of the reasons why I'm probably not able to shine forth your light in any better way. Do you know that we're good at that too? The Lord may challenge us and put His finger on our lives. Say, I want something from you. And we can be so quick to justify our current state. So good at justifying current state. Because change is hard. A lot of times change means that we have to do something that's not very comfortable. The Lord came to bring about change in our lives. No, it's not always comfortable. But it results in life. That's what He came to bring us. Life. He didn't come just bring us hardship. He didn't come to spell out the way of salvation to make us take our licks in this life so that we can earn our way into heaven. No, He paid the price for our salvation. But He comes to lead us to where living water flows. And that journey involves change that is not always easy. Oftentimes it's difficult. And yet as a people, and we can be lulled and pulled into this as people that have been around truth for a long time. We can get in the place where where we're satisfied with our current state, like the church at Laodicea. I'm good. I'm rich. I know what I need to do. And yet our oil is beginning to drain out because we are losing our fervency, our purpose. Not as resolute as we should be. Oh, let's have a spiritual vision of, Lord, help me to hear your voice and follow, and I'll go wherever you lead me and look forward to drinking from the water of life and experiencing divine spiritual healing. We look for spiritual, physical healing. But did you know that the Lord is most concerned about reaching down His hand and imparting to us divine spiritual healing? He is most concerned about giving us spiritual land to possess in our lives, spiritual victories. Why would we not want to plant ourselves more closely to living waters, that we might be able to taste more of the giver of life instead of all of the things that will pass away? Why would we not want to draw closer to light and farther away from darkness than continuing to drink from those wells that leave us thirsty? Jesus said, if you thirst, come unto me. If you thirst, say, I'm thirsty. I just haven't found what I want in the Lord. And oftentimes what we do is we double down on doing things in our own strength, increasing our religious task list, which may be needed. But so many times we miss the most important thing that the Lord is calling us, and that is to Himself, to developing a relationship with Him. Lord, help me to hear your voice. Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit so that I am better acquainted with what you sound like, and when you speak to me, that I would be able to discern it, that I don't have the music of this life turned on so loud that I don't hear when you stand at my door and knock. Lord, lead me. If we'll do that, you will find that your faith increases. People say, well, I don't have the faith that I'd like to have. How resolute have you been in developing a relationship with Jesus Christ? First, get to know Him. Get to know who He is. Talk to Him. Give Him space. Give Him time. Why would we expect to have faith in someone we don't give space and we don't give time? That doesn't work in this life. Unless it's weeds. They take up space in our time and we never asked for it. But good things that cost, may God help us be resolute and unwavering in making matter what matters. Have a no regret strategy in your investments, in the business world and corporate world. They pursue what they call no regret investments. No regret strategies. And what that means is, you know, sometimes you make investments and you look out there and you say, well, I think this is going to happen, so I'm going to invest so that if it does happen, I'm ready. And sometimes they're good, sometimes they turn out not so good. But there are other things that even in the business world, they say, make and have no regret strategies. No matter what happens in the future, no matter what the economy does, no matter what takes off, I'm glad I did this. I have no regrets. And the Lord this morning wants us to approach following Him in that manner. It's a no regret strategy. It's a no-regret resolution to make spiritual investments. Then no matter what happens, we look back and we say, I'm so glad I did that. I'm so glad I gave myself more to that. And then be resolute about it. Not wavering. Not distracted. So many things pull us. So many things draw us away. We let so many things cause our faith to be moved. And Jesus stood and he cried out. And he said, if you thirst, come to me. Be resolute in coming to Jesus Christ. He has a designed purpose for us in life that he wants us to focus in on. He wants us to give our hearts and our lives above everything else in life. He wants us to do this, and that is, he wants us to be a light to the world. Ye are a light of the world. A city that's set on a hill, what does it say? Cannot be hid. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith will it be salted? That's his design for us, is that we would follow him closely enough that his light and his spirit becomes our spirit, and that that light begins to come out of our lives so that others can see the light. See your good works, not to glorify us, but to glorify your Father which is in heaven. What kind of resolutions are we making? Does this have a central part of it? Have you ever noticed what was before those verses? That's in the 5th chapter of Matthew. Right before he said, you are the light of the world, you remember what it was that he had just got finished saying? He just went through the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This was when the Lord went up on in the Sermon on the Mount, and the first thing that he felt like was the thing to say above everything else that he could have said first. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Do we ever make our resolutions? Let me rephrase that. Are we resolute in our lives that I am going to be unwavering in my pursuit of being a peacemaker? Why is it that we like stirring the pot? Why are we more apt sometimes, it seems like, to jump on something that someone's done wrong as opposed to being a peacemaker? Let's be a peacemaker. Let's be resolute. Let's be unwavering. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. The meek, poor in spirit. Jesus outlined these behaviors, these conditions of heart, these actions because he thought it was so important to spell out. The Lord, he doesn't want us to just live unto ourselves. He wants us to recognize that our purpose in life is so much more than just ourselves. It's about living in a way that glorifies and honors the one that we're going to stand before. It's about honoring and reflecting the giver of life. I want to be resolute in giving myself to the giver of life. We live in a world that teaches and promotes and influences and draws us continually to satisfy ourselves. Right? $1 billion industry. And yet, when you read about the kingdom of heaven, when Jesus separated the sheep from the goats, every single example that he gave had to do with serving somebody else. How do we serve others? Are we good with that in our lives? It's not that things aren't important. It's not that careful spiritual living, careful daily living is not important. It is. I endeavor to be careful in the decisions that I make in my personal life. But if we miss the basic fundamental commission that Jesus Christ brought, what we do is going to become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. If we don't have love in our hearts for other people, I can say whatever I want that may be grounded in truth. But if I don't show love in the way that I say it, the way that I live my life, the way that I reach out to people, it really doesn't matter in the end. Jesus stands and He knocks at our door, and He is this morning. And He is bidding that we would pause and set down all of the things that so draw and pull and interest us in ways that we are unwavering in giving it our attention and our time. The Lord wants us to be resolute about being a follower of God as a dear child. Resolute, unwavering. I don't want to be found outside of that. Sometimes we can spend so much spiritual energy on things that in the end aren't going to matter as much as if we miss being unwavering in pursuing our relationship with Jesus Christ. I want more than religion. I want to do more than follow a checklist of good things. Yes, it all has its place. But I want a relationship with Jesus Christ that's alive. I want to be resolute. I want to be determined, purposeful, not easily turned away from investing in having an alive relationship with Jesus while I seek to understand and apply the great commission that He gave us to go into all the world and preach the gospel by the conduct of our lives. Don't bury your talent. Don't allow to be moved off of what is most important. Yes, there are resolutions, but it's something much more to be resolute, unwavering. And I believe that there are places in our lives that the Lord would like us to be resolute about and drawing close to Him. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's purpose to be of that number. Amen.